This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. You are listening to Geek Speak. In-kind support for Katie and Kay comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McGuire, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well.
Good. So I wanted to start out by asking you, Matt, if you have ever come across a piece of software that will make your Mac, your slow Mac, not so slow.
Several of them.
Yeah? So what, is it like a Fix Your Mac, or is it called Clean My Mac?
I think those are all scams.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, so I have one that I use. I've been testing called BitBleach, but it's only available for control or command line. So you install it and you run a terminal command, mm-hmm. and you can say, well, you know, clean up all the cookies and the. So it's like an automated way to kind of go through and clean out your browsers and catch those kinds of things.
Got it.
So
okay.
You know, usually if somebody's Mac is going slow, I almost always find that it's hardware, unless there's something kind of goofy going on. The first thing I do is create a new user and see if the symptoms persist. And if that's the case, then, you know, that's, you're probably looking at, you know, hardware kind of thing going on, where if they're both, or if the new one's fast and the other one's slow, you know, then you start telling each one of the browsers that they use to run cleanups and things like that.
Got it. Okay.
That'll usually take care of it. Every once in a while, I do something kind of extreme, like rename the log in as another admin user, go in, grab the library folder, rename it to library old.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
this is on a Mac?
On a Mac, yep.
Rename the library folder?
Rename the library folder.
Okay.
And then then you log back in, the operating system goes, wait a minute, you don't have a library folder, and puts a fresh, clean library in there.
Okay.
And then there's some migration stuff that...
But then all your mail's gone and, you know,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Although most of my clients are using webmail, so I don't have a lot of problems like that.
Yeah. You know, I've had a bunch of people using Outlook just lately, and you know, if I can discourage anybody from using Outlook on a Mac, like, ahead of time, please.
Just switch back to Entourage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So...
I think they just came out with a new version, because I noticed that the icons on my Mac changed recently. So it looks like if you have Office 365, they're rolling out the 2019 version for both PC and Mac. So I got a call, or I saw some activity on one of the ways my client my clients contact me, and it looks like probably a lot of their computers have updated to the new Outlook 2019 from Outlook 2016.
Yep, the icons are changing as we speak.
So might be some little problems with the upgrade.
Yeah. Well, I've just, you know, one thing that seems to be inevitable, and especially when using Outlook with Gmail, that doesn't seem to be a great combination.
It's kind of
forcing two different worlds to try and play together.
Yeah, know? And it, so. You know, and Google doesn't really have a Exchange-ish, a mappy kind of interface to talk to Outlook.
Yeah.
I mean, they do IMAP, which is everywhere else. And it works pretty well, but it's definitely not perfect.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I was kind of hoping they do a higher level of integration with that, where you kind of go, hey, this is a Google account. Outlook goes talk to the APIs.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, everything's copacetic, but you still have to run a piece of middleware.
There is, yeah. I was going to say.
Which hasn't been updated yet, at least as of a week ago.
So it doesn't work with 2019?
Not yet.
At this point? Okay.
When you try to...
Well, that would explain why I got a venomous phone call from one of my clients going, this stinks, I can't do it anymore. switch me back to Exchange, he said. So.
Yeah, so I don't know that if you have paid Google G Suite... if you have that paid, if they have an updated version for that yet.
Got it.
Last week when I started encountering this problem, they hadn't. They didn't have that updated yet.
Got it. All right. Well, I'm looking at people can call with their computer questions, 970-963-2976. Whether you need help jiggling your cables or changing out your ink cartridges. Oh, look at there. There's somebody now.
You're on with the geeks.
Hello.
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 Tell us about your broken computer.
My computer's not broken, but since you guys were talking about email, I was just wondering if there's any way to get rid of, block, eliminate this new scam that's been coming around where they're sending it from my email address, and it seems to be centered around the whole LinkedIn hacking of a couple years ago. They claim to have my password. They claim all these things, and they want me to send them $792 to their Bitcoin account. And I get about 5 to 10 a day on bad days. Sometimes I'll go a week without getting one.
Yeah.
But and they're all different. They're all different. So is there any way to get away from that? If they're all coming to my old Sopris.net address,
and
I've had that for 25 years, I'm hesitant to get rid of it. But that's the next step, I think.
I'll tell you, the spam filtering on the Sopris.net accounts has just fallen by the wayside, at least in my experience lately. So, you know, my best recommendation would be to set up a Gmail account if you don't already have one. And or if you do have one, just go into your Sopris mail account and set it to forward everything to your Gmail account. And that way it'll run it through Gmail's spam filtering system. And it'll get eliminated that way.
Okay, so go into whoever it is, Skybeam or whoever's facilitating that still. Or?
Yeah, if you go to webmail.sopris.net and just log in there, and then in the left-hand set of buttons, there's one that says Settings, and one of the tabs in there is Forwarding, and you can just go in there and tell it to forward everything over to your Gmail account, and
then the spam filtering will be more efficient.
Exactly.
Well, right. You have the option to say, this is, you know, mark as spam. And once you've done that a couple of times, if not already, it'll move it into the spam folder.
That is if anything gets through. And, quite honestly, because, you know, it will get processed through. It comes in, Gmail doesn't just take it. It's not innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, we're starting to do whitelisting.
It's guilty until proven innocent, and
I don't get a lot of spam. It's just this one thing that seems to have come around in the last 6 months or so that has really hit hard, and I've probably got 1,000 of them, and they're all different, worded slightly different, in broken English, and they all want the exact same thing and claim the exact same thing, and it's from LinkedIn, from my LinkedIn account getting hacked.
Yep. So. No, you're not alone. I got one a while back.
I get them every once in a while.
I'm like, oh, isn't that interesting? They got a password that's 7 years old.
So, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty all awesome. Right. So, all right.
Thanks,
good luck
Matt.
With that. Take care.
All right, cheers. Bye-bye. Yeah, bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Call in with your computer problems, questions, or a topic you want us to talk about, 963-2976.
So have you seen the warning going around about this? It's not exactly a computer-related thing, but it's called a one-ring scam. Are you familiar with that?
Uh-uh. So like rings once and you call them back? Or?
Yeah, and basically it's a it's like the equivalent of a, you know, they used to do this with these 900 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're phone numbers that have like, so it used to be like if you called a, if somebody were to call a 900 phone sex number, for instance, or whatever, they would, you know, reach some, it would be a number in the Cayman Islands or something, whatever. And, it had, you know, this just horrendous, like $2.99 a minute thing, you know, toll.
I think I've heard of them as being high as $30
a
minute.
Yeah, I've heard of, even a lot higher than that. Well, this one ring scam, and I guess the, countries that, a lot of them are coming from here. Just a minute. Let me pull it up. They're coming from African phone numbers. So they'll actually come up depending on, And the FCC has issued an automatic or an official warning. And it's called the One Ring Robocall Scam. And, they are advising you to not call back. Let me see here. Sorry, I can't get it exactly, but you know, if you get a one, they're basically saying if you get a one ring phone call from a, international number that you don't recognize, don't call it back because it'll cost you dearly. Mm-hmm. So, and it's very difficult to get those charges reversed. So anyway, so there's,
yeah, I've really been enjoying my Pixel 3 call filtering feature.
Uh-huh.
So basically, mm-hmm. when I get a call, it'll usually say that it's spam. But if I don't, if I don't recognize the number, if it's not in my list, mm-hmm. I have a button that says, screen call, and it says, "Hi, this person's using a Google."
Yeah, I know, because I tried to call.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Called you from my car phone, and I'm like, "Wow, Matt's got some new technology there. I need to get that."
Yeah. So I actually did this to Louie because I didn't recognize his number for his car phone.
Yeah, my 720 spy phone number.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but that's pretty slick. I like that.
Yeah. So it said, you said like Louie to it, or maybe a little bit more.
Louie calling about a tech question.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it gave me the text, and then I was able to go answer, and away we went.
Yeah. It went really quick. I was impressed with how quickly it, I was going, okay, I'm going to be sitting here waiting for a few minutes, but it connected right up. So
yep.
That was good. So. That's awesome.
Usually it gets about halfway through and the whatever's on the other end hangs up.
Oh.
Not me.
I needed tech support, man. So, did you see Amazon is hiring hundreds of people to start package delivery companies with annual profits up to $300,000? So Amazon's like getting after it. They want to have their own package delivery business. And, which I don't think is like any huge surprise to anybody, but they're like getting really aggressive with it. And,
Well, if they'll buy me a Unimog, we can talk.
Unimog. What?
It's
don't
a,
make, Merce- don't it's, make me Google that.
It's a subsidiary of, Mercedes, and they're like giant off-road, vehicles.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Or they can get me something really efficient, like a Camry or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. Well, they show a picture of a guy driving a Sprinter. So
yeah, they look kind of, the front end looks similar. It's just a Sprinter, but it's 3 or 4 feet tall instead of 18 inches or whatever.
All right. Got it. Yeah. Oh, that's a beefy looking thing there, man. That's pretty cool. So yeah. So that is one of the things that Amazon is doing. And I got to admit, it's really nice getting packages on Sunday, I mean, I used to be like, I don't want anybody to have to work on Sunday, but I think at this point, I would rather that the mail service stay alive, and if making the mail people work on Sundays is what it's going to take, let's do it.
Well, you just end up with getting, Tuesday, Wednesday off or something, hopefully, something useful, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Exactly. So, yeah. So, have you heard that did I get rid of that one?
So, although there's some, I was going to talk about World Password Day. That's
Please, tomorrow. Please.
So, just everyone to think about, choosing a good password and, changing it every once in a while. Really the place that you really need to have a unique password is on your email account. You need to have a strong, secure password that's unique there more than anywhere else. Because if somebody who's after you gets that account, they really have the keys to the kingdom. They can go to your Amazon, once they have your email address or email account, they can go to Amazon, reset your password, buy stuff, get into all kinds, they can go through your email and find everything and, start doing an ordering spree from all of your favorite online vendors.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, Matt brought in a fun way to do passwords.
Yeah.
So, and it uses dice. And he's got a huge bag of dice, but you only need 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do it if you have one dice. One 6.
You just got to do it 5 times in a row.
Right. So. Yeah.
So you basically write down, you roll your 5 dice and you write down the numbers from left to right. And then Matt's got it printed out in hard copy. But if you go to EFF.org, it's a website, the Electronic Frontiers Foundation. They have a, you can scroll down.
Large word list is what they call it.
It's called EFF Large Word List. And it basically has,
7,776.
Really? But how can you roll a 7?
Well, no, that's...
Is that an extra bonus?
Well, it's because it's... Yeah. It's so you have... So it would be 6 to the 5th should be the math.
Okay.
So when you're doing calculating password entropy, you take the number of possible characters, in this case 6, and then you do an exponent to the power of the number of characters. So in this case, there'd be 5 characters. So it'd be...
I hate to rain on your parade, but it ends at 66666.
Oh, did I flip it around?
For all the devil worshippers out there.
7666?
No, just 66666. Because you get 5 dice, and they can all only go up to 6, right?
Well, no, it's multiplication, so, or it's exponent, so it should be a different number.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, we're just...
So, well, we've taken people way into the electronic frontier at this point, but you roll the dice and you come up and you basically write your 5 numbers down, and then you roll it again and you write those 5 numbers down and you roll it again, and you're like, I did 5, but I only took three of the words, and the large word list basically allows you to just correspond them directly to the numbers you rolled on your dice. So if you rolled a 6 and 4 twos, you would get, let's see here.
And they've done a good job of keeping the word list clean, so there's no expletives or...
Really? Darn.
I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure that word list is clean. You can make your own word list with
62,
all the...
62222 is the word thorn, I'll have you know.
Excellent. So, yeah. Good word.
So if you'd rolled 62221... You know what you get? Thong. It's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the possibility of rolling thorn thong is not very good.
You know, but it's still there's still a probability of it.
Yep. So if you blow in the dice just right. So, anyway, that was kind of fun. So, I've got a new password, and I'm not going to tell it to anybody. Otherwise, I'd have to kill them.
Or roll it again and get not as fun a password.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It has the word venomous in it. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, so. Now you have to add another word to it.
Ah, that's true.
So it's a really great way to create a strong password that's not socially engineerable. You know, there's ways to get information like, you know, pets and things like that where it could narrow their word list. So that'd be a customized attack where somebody did a little research on you and said, well, I know you're cat is Muffins and your dog is Harriet and so on and so forth.
Got it. Okay.
And they could give a computer a list of these words that they figured out about you as a keyword list. And then they could tell the computer, go, well, let's try passwords with these words in it.
Got it.
And then that would significantly reduce it from, you know, 7,000 words to a much larger number.
So I tell my customers to sit in the middle of their room in their like rotating office chair and just like spin 360 degrees and stop like 4 times and whatever they are looking at, you know, so in order for people to socially engineer those passwords, they'd have to get into that room. And
so as long as you're not selling your house, you're probably okay.
Yeah. But you also think about it. I mean, there's 360 degrees of possibility of what you're going to be looking at.
So what you're saying is you need to really keep your office cluttered so you can increase the odds.
Your entropy goes up
substantially with a dirty office.
With the clutter. So
you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Yeah.
Calling with a password resolution to do a strong password on your email.
Mm-hmm. So is your phone 5G compatible?
No, Matt? It's 4G.
No. So we're all going to have to buy new phones, right?
Right.
Okay. I've just been getting a lot of questions about 5G because there's a lot of buzz about it, you know, in the news these days.
Yeah.
And so yet another way for the cell carriers to strong arm us into getting new phones.
Well, it uses an incredibly wide array of frequencies. I was really surprised when I looked up the frequency range for it.
Got it.
I think the top end of it was 60 gigahertz. And I think the low end was it like 20? Because I know there's licensed 24 gigahertz. I think the low, so the frequency range was 27 gigahertz to 60 or 62 gigahertz.
Got it. Okay.
Which, you know, it seems like it's going to be a very much more a short range, short to mid-range kind of setup where you have a lot of access points or femto cells, microcells, doing bandwidth in kind of, you know, like building or five or six building radiuses kind of things.
Okay.
As opposed to being more long range like 2G and 3G and 4G.
Okay. So they're going to use the internet more for...
Yeah, there's going to be a lot more fiber runs to have a lot more end nodes on the network.
Got it.
So
that still will not help me place and receive calls like when I'm right in the center of Glenwood Canyon, but...
Well, they just have to put one, you know, every
put a femtocell in the Hanging Lake Tunnel.
Or three or four of them probably. Yeah,
exactly. Huh, that's pretty crazy.
So it's just because the other frequency range is like, I have a project here in Carbondale, and the 2.4 gigahertz range is just completely obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many wireless access points, for computer networking. It is just maddening to try to deal with that.
I think that is the way of the future. That's the reality of it. You know, as anybody who lives in a slightly congested area, if any of our listeners are living in a, you know, more urban setting, if anything around here can be called urban, but if you like pull up the list of available Wi-Fi networks and there's more than maybe 15, then, and you're having connectivity problems, then that's probably why.
Yeah, everyone needs to centrally locate their router access point and turn it down. Because everyone just leaves them, you know, just plugs them in and says go. Uh-huh. So they're transmitting at maximum power, and it just saturates everywhere.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to learn to be more bandwidth friendly.
Even better, they need to call Matt or I to come and turn it down for them.
Yeah, we'll turn down your...
Yeah, we don't want people poking around in there, turning things down willy-nilly like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, yeah, that's good advice, you know, what a lot of people don't know on that same subject is that, Comcast installers a lot of times will just do a dump and run. You know, they basically get basic signal up and get your thing activated and pull up a couple web pages, show you that it's good, and they're out the door, and they leave it set on the default channel for the Comcast modem,
which is 11 is it 11 and 154?
Six is the one that I always
to look next time,
but yeah, I mean, I'll, and so if you like go in with a like the device like Matt or I use to do a site survey, or you know how to pull that up on your computer, you'll see, you know, just a ton of networks operating in the channel six or channel 11 band.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know? I mean, they'll basically sit there and kick each other. You know, you'll get a few minutes of use and then it'll go out and the other guy's stuff will start working and it just kind of goes back and forth.
Right. The thing is that each one of the network devices, when a collision happens, each one waits a random period of time before it resends. So once and I can't remember how long that wait period is. Maybe it's, 100 milliseconds or 150 milliseconds or something like that. So that the two devices transmit at the same time, they go, that didn't work. And it's going to pick a random period of time to try that again.
Got it.
And if the thing's so congested, it's just that's happening all the time. And actually the new Unify controller, you can see, it'll give you statistics on how many...
And
all those interactions.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how fouled up your airwaves are.
Yep. Okay. Well, we are coming up on the close of the show here. And there's a bunch of people out there that could have gotten free tech help, but...
they wanted to listen to us instead.
They want to wait two more weeks. So we'll be back the third Monday of the month.
Yeah, third Monday. And, we'll be back.
So a couple other little articles just before our outro music comes up. Well, anyway, I was going to say that it looks like Verizon's kind of leading the 5G charge. That's not a huge surprise. And they're saying that they currently offer 5G broadband internet in areas of Houston, Texas, Sacramento, Indianapolis, and Los Angeles. And they started taking pre-orders for it in September of 18, and they started servicing those houses in October of 18. And so that's going to be like a little jetpack device, right? Home 5G.
Well, they'll probably connect to their fiber they'll probably have a Fios or connection or something that'll plug into that.
Oh, how sneaky would that be?
That would be my guess.
Okay.
Because they're going to have some sort of backbone going into that device to
You're thinking it's 5G going the other direction. I'm thinking that they're picking it up out of the air and allowing you to rebroadcast it in your house, but...
No, it's going to be pretty short range given the frequency range.
Got it. Okay.
We'll watch. Right. We'll learn more.
Yep. All right. Close it up there, Matt.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt Cabrera from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy. We'll be back May the 20th.
See y'all then.
Have a great 2 weeks.
And don't touch your knob.